Angela. All right, so here's the card going around for the weekends. It'll be passed around. And Marlene, would you leave yourself a little note first? No. So we'll start it here, and it'll be passed around. And we're going to miss the weekends. In the bulletin Wednesday night, we are going to a get-together, a goodbye get-together. So rather than making it super late, what we've decided to do is have a shortened service till 7:30, and the master clubs will be till 7:30, and we'll go over there at 7:30, and it'll be set up over there for a going away, so we're not here till too late, because we get school and jobs and everything else. So, and Rachel, how many remember that little scrawny redheaded fifth grader? Well, she's in boot camp now, and so Rachel can be sent letters or cards from us, and also stationery to use and books to be read. That's what we can send Rachel, and her address is in the bulletin. Rachel sent Liberty Baptist Church a note. It says, "Dear LBC family, I don't have much time to write, only 30 minutes on Sundays. I love you all. On day 3 of boot camp, and it's going okay. I'm sure it will get better once we learn to work as a team and do our training exercises well." Oh, training exercises, exclamation point. Well, I got to go. Love you all, Rachel. So, we love Rachel. All right. We're good. Today, we're celebrating Veterans Day, which is on Tuesday. And once again, we'd like to honor our vets this morning, and we want to thank each and every one of you and all branches of the service and National Guard and all that. We'd like to give you another hand. Thank you so much for serving this country and for the families who sacrifice their time allowing their spouses, loved ones to serve this country. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask, Lord, that this service be pleasing to you, that this message touch our hearts, Lord, and Lord, help us ever be mindful for what you've done for us on the cross. Help us ever be mindful that there's people dying and going to hell, and they need the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to cry out, Lord, and trust you as Savior. Please, Lord, give this church a burden and a broken heart for those who do not know you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Once again, we ask that you prepare our hearts and allow you to use a message to help guide us, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Honoring all the vets, and so this message by in no means discounts or diminishes anyone who has served here, because there are certain people in each of our lives that have an influence on our lives. And when I was growing up, in my early 20s, before I got married and in my life, there have been certain veterans who have influenced my life. And I'd like to speak about some of them today. And like I say, that in no way diminishes the sacrifice and the service of the vets here this morning. When I think of the veterans that have helped form my life and formed my ideologies and that I've looked up to and been influenced from, I can't help it. It's song, "Desperado's Waiting for a Train." Desperado is Waiting for a Train comes from an album, David Allan Coe. And one of the lines in his song, it talks about this guy he knows. And the line in the song says, to me, he's a hero of this country, so why is he dressed up like some old man? And a lot of times we don't recognize a veteran or a hero of this country because he's dressed like an old man. He's dressed like a regular guy. And we fail to recognize it. Not to anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. I've had the honor to be around a World War I vet, Dick Smith, in Great Falls. Spent X number of years with him. I learned a lot from him. One of the things I learned was when there were things that I was only 18 years old and I'd get upset about certain things, especially the way people treated my friend Dick, who was generous beyond all means, and they took advantage of him, and I would get there mad, and I'd say, Dick, it just makes me mad. And he said, don't worry about it. 100 years from now, it ain't going to make a difference. And he's 90 years old at that time, and I thought, you know what? He's right. He helped me put things into perspective. I've had the honor of running around with some World War II vets. How many of us that have lived in Heller for a long time remember A.B. Kroll, the guy that ran the county dump right up here at the Scratch Gravel Hills? Do you remember anybody remember A.B. Kroll? You remember A.B. Kroll? And A.B. was funny. He was pure out and out funny. And we always got a kick out of A.B., you know. Hey, running up to Unionville, my dad, how are the roads? And my dad said, boy, they're slicker, slicker than anything, and you know, best be careful. I got four wheel, and he'd take off. And little A.B. was about this high. Had no idea. Then you read in the paper about the Devil's Brigade and the people that stormed Normandy Beach. A.B. Kroll. A hero. But growing up, I thought A.B. was just the guy that ran the dump. And he's a hero. Hank Kramer, he's a welder up at the Votech for years, and maybe some of you know him. He was in World War II in the Pacific Theater of World War II. He told stories. He welded on the ships, and he told stories about getting hit. And there'd be water just rushing in, and so they sent them down there to start welding. He said, because some of the people for building those ships got paid by the foot to weld those fillets and weld the seams. And in order to get, so they were paid by the foot. And he said they'd go down there and here's this big hole. The ship could sink. And what's there? A bunch of welding rod just welded over because people were getting paid by the foot. Had no regard for those serving the country, but I'm going to get mine. But Hank Kramer is a hero of mine. Ray Beaver, I ran around with Ray Beaver for years. He was involved with Normandy, and he was involved with the St. Lo breakthrough in France. We've heard of the Battle of the Hedgerows in France. My friend Ray Beaver, an old Helena painter, dressed up in striped bib overalls with paint all over them. Funnier than anything, he taught me a lot. Whenever I'd get a little uptight or whatever as a kid, he says, hey, just a minute now, you got to put things into context. And then after you put them in context, put it into perspective. Ray Beaver fought in World War II, and he fought in the Battle of the Hedgerows, and recipient of a couple Purple Hearts. He's a hero. Got a friend, Wayne Beach, tougher than nails. Privileged to know him. He's a Vietnam War vet. We were privileged to be neighbors with Jerry Morrissey. He spent a tour in Vietnam, or Korea, two tours in Vietnam. He was a member of the frogman team, which is today's SEALs, a Green Beret, an Army Ranger. Jerry Morris, he was involved in covert operations all over the world. Purple Heart, Silver Star. They had to lower his pocket to get all the medals and ribbons. They lowered his pocket down to here. He'd get a little excited telling a story. His false teeth would fly out. He'd put them back and he'd laugh. He's a hero. Jerry was tough. Jerry was a great neighbor. He was humble. He was loyal. He was loving. He'd send food over all the time when I was single before I got married. He was sending food over all the time. I was working night shift. I'd hear something running like he's mowing the lawn, mowing the grass outside. Then I got married and I still work a night shift, and Lori thought she heard somebody outside. She calls Jerry at midnight or 1 o'clock. She didn't know where Jerry was. He said he'd be over. Jerry knows what he's doing. He doesn't come over looking for somebody. Jerry's doing what he knows best, working covertly, making sure Lori was safe. Packing heat. Jerry was not only just tougher than nails, and it was a mental mindset Jerry had. But his service, 33 years to this country, exemplified Jerry's willingness to sacrifice. 33 years to ensure freedom for every one of us here this morning, for the American people, so that we could sit here and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we could be involved in a capitalistic system, so that we could be the best that we can be with what we've got, only in America. That song, Pursuit of Happiness, with Will Smith, we watched that movie. Some people said, boy, look at how he was treated, and on and on and on. Yeah, it was unfortunate, the circumstances, I don't know who else saw it. But at the end of the show, I was in awe. Because here's this guy, poor as a church mouse, able to make it. Only in America. The greatest country on God's green earth. And like I said before, not only Jerry or my friends, but we would like to honor this morning all the veterans with our appreciation and gratitude for their service and sacrifice. And the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Hebrews 9, verse 26, now once in the end of the world, He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice. By the sacrifice of Himself. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of the King of Kings. The sacrifice of the Lord of Lords. The sacrifice of the true and faithful. The sacrifice of the only omnipotent. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares our sinful state. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether we're here this morning and we know Christ as Savior, or we're here this morning and we've never trusted Christ as Savior, that should still ring true. We've all sinned. And when I was a new Christian, I thought we fell short of the glory of God. But the more I read of the holiness, of the standard of righteousness, we can't spread our arms wide enough to show how short we fall of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Every one of us here deserves to die. Every one of us here deserves death, which is separation from God Almighty forever. We are a sinful lot. And yet Christ, God, found it within Himself to die for us, to love us in spite of ourselves. We have a hard time loving ourselves because of what we do, how we act, what we think. But God is in His infinite love sacrificed for our sins. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If there was any other way besides Jesus Christ, why would He have to die such a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, the old rugged cross? Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus keeps me. Jesus has a home for me in heaven. Jesus has prepared a place for me. What have I done? We're asked simply to trust Him. Something doesn't seem right. Something doesn't seem balanced there. Something seems out of whack. Yeah, in our eyes, but not in a God who's infinitely merciful's eyes. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for our sin. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. The word might there. For Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Might. Well, Christ died for all the world. Yes, He did. He died for every single individual human being that He might bring us to God. The might is predicated on faith. Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ? Have I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Am I putting my faith in Jesus Christ and how good of a person I am? Am I putting my faith in Jesus Christ and coming to a Baptist church? Am I putting my faith in Jesus Christ and reading my Bible? If there's any and there, then it is not faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If there's an and there, then we're not part of the might be saved. We must trust Jesus Christ only, and Him only. He said on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says there is no other sacrifice. Why are some of us here this morning? We might be trying or striving for something just a little extra, just a little bit more, just in case our faith isn't enough. If our faith isn't enough, then it isn't faith. We're putting faith in ourselves. We got some faith in Jesus Christ, but we're putting faith in ourselves. The Bible says that if it is of any works, then it is of no more grace. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid His life down for us. God is love. And He manifested or made evident that love when He laid His life down for us on the cross. There's a song, the lines read, I am forgiven, I clearly see. It's why You came to do all You did for me. Trading earth with heaven, You took my place. I love You. Could not be said a better way. Your sacrifice is spoken. You gave everything. I love you could not be said a better way than a man lay down his life for his friends, the Bible says. And we can learn a lot about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ from Jerry and other veterans. Let's repeat that. We can learn a lot about the sacrifice and service of Jesus Christ from my friend Jerry and other veterans. What can we learn about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Three things. Their sacrifice often goes unnoticed, unheralded, and unknown to the world. Their sacrifice goes unnoticed. Just like the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How can it go unnoticed? Because sometimes we as believers spend more time griping and moaning and groaning and have a miserable life, not with joy. Woe is, we go to the workplace, we say, woe is me. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ goes unnoticed in our workplace because we don't show it. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ goes unnoticed in our families, our relatives at Christmas time or Easter or whenever they come to visit, because they don't see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how much it should mean to us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ should be on the forefront of our minds. It should be on the tips of our tongues. Not only is the sacrifice of the veterans, and we can learn from the sacrifice of veterans as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, it goes unnoticed and it goes unheralded. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, always, not sometimes or most times, but be ready always to give an answer to every man, not some men, not just the guys I like, not just the guys I feel sorry for, but to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. First of all, they have to notice it in our lives. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, yet believing, we as believers, we should rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. People should notice the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And then we should be ready to give them an answer of the hope that lies within us. But oftentimes, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ goes unnoticed and goes unheralded because of me. It's easy to point at other religions, other groups, because they don't have the right doctrine, and that's why this world's unsaved. That's why this country's going to hell in a handbasket. But judgment must begin at the house of God. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I'm afraid, goes unnoticed and unheralded because of me. We have to look awful closely at our lives before we point fingers at others and ask God to forgive us and help us be the people we need to be in the lives of those around us. Not only does the sacrifice of Jesus Christ go unnoticed, unheralded, but unknown to the world. Unknown to the world. Awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. He speaks this to the Church of Liberty Baptist Church's shame. Because some have not the knowledge of God. There are people in Helena, Montana who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. There are some people in Helena, Montana who do not even know the love of God. And he speaks it to our shame. Christ says to the church, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am all with you always, even unto the end of the world. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach. Baptize. And teach in verse 20, whatsoever things I have asked you. Whatsoever things I have requested. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to the church to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He commands us to teach all nations. He commands us to go into all the world. And we wonder why the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice and service of our Lord Jesus Christ, goes unnoticed, goes unheralded, and is unknown to most of the world, because we're disobeying the commandment that our Lord and Savior has given us. I think we could all put ourselves in the shoes of Isaiah, the sandals of Isaiah. Woe is me. I am undone. We have not kept up our part of the bargain. We love salvation. We love Jesus Christ. We love the cross. We love the joy of unspeakable joy that He gives us. But we don't do what we're commanded to do. And we wonder why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ goes unnoticed, goes unheralded, and unknown to the world. Like the sacrifice of the veterans. And we once again want to thank every veteran here for the service of this country and for the families. People all over the world attending church behind closed doors with a fear. And we're thankful for America. We're thankful for the Constitution. We're thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us, what He did for us, and for what He will continue to do for us. We learn in Sunday school how we're kept by the power of God. I'm so glad God loves me. I'm so glad He's merciful and continues to love me. We're going to have an invitation here. And during the invitation, I'd like to... I think we need to ask ourselves, if I'm here this morning and I've never accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my stead, as Him in my place for the payment of sins, maybe you're here this morning and you need to get that settled, you can come this morning and trust Christ as Savior. The Bible says it's by faith. It's believing that Jesus Christ died and was buried for 3 days and three nights and, yea, rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures for my sins. For those of us that are saved this morning here at Liberty Baptist Church, we have to ask ourselves this question. Am I to blame for the sacrifice of my Savior to go unnoticed, unheralded, and unknown? What's my share of responsibility? What's my share of accountability? And I think we need to ask Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. I think we need to ask Lord Jesus Christ to give us strength. Give us the grace to tell others about what He did in our lives. Let's let God deal with us this morning.
375. Thank you.
Perhaps there's somebody we need to pray for that we know in our family or whatnot, a friend. And ask God to help us be a small part in their salvation. Ask God to give us the courage and the grace to approach them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This morning might be a good time.
Just as I am, though tempting not to rid my soul of one dark flock, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
What about those people we don't like? What about those people that make fun of us, laugh at us, and really don't care for us? It's easy to pray for salvation for those we love. But maybe this morning we could pray for those that we're at odds with and ask God to forgive us and ask God to give us an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us.
Just as I am pressed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Everybody, for being here this morning. What a great day. And God's going to bless us with some moisture in the next couple days. Bible says to be thankful in all things. And we'll trust God that we be thankful. See, Brother Josh Clement, would you close us in prayer, please?